What he does is the heart and essence of his age. He actualizes his age.
Hegel makes it clear that the power exercised by the great man is not due to the man as such. His power is due to the character and principle he represents. Hegel offers the example of Cardinal Richelieu, who wielded absolute power in 17th century France. Hegel says that even Richelieu's enemies were under his control.
They gave way not to Richelieu as a man, but to his genius, which linked his person with the necessary principle of the unity of the state. Herein lies political genius, the identification of an individual with a principle.
Hegel believes that history is made when someone with political genius meets a situation where something important can happen. Here he revives an idea known to ancient philosophers as the right time for an event to happen. The Greek word for this idea is lost because it has no counterpart in modern languages. But Hegel retains the idea, and today we often apply it when we say the time is ripe. In the following passage, Hegel expresses the mutual interplay between the man and the age, or, as we might say, the right man at the right time.
A special relationship obtains with the mind or spirit that makes world history. Unlike ordinary events, there no longer stands on the one side an activity external to the object, and on the other side a merely passive subject. The spiritual activity is directed to an object which is active in itself, an object which has spontaneously worked itself up into the result to be brought about by that activity. In the activity and in the object, one and the same content is present. Thus, for example, the people and the time which were molded by the activity of Alexander and Caesar as their object qualified themselves on their own part for the deeds to be performed by these individuals. It is no less true that the time created these men as that it was created by them. They were as much the instruments of the mind or spirit of their time and their people, as conversely, their people served these heroes as an instrument for the accomplishment of their deeds.
History's great figures occupy an ambiguous position in Hegel's view. They're caught between their own motives and the outcome of their efforts, an outcome that will become the permanent substance of world history. In reality, great men are agents of reason. Reason realizes itself through their deeds. It moves them in directions of which they are only dimly aware. Hegel believes the world spirit is related to the subjective makeup of great men and women, their ambitions, passions, and dreams. He has several different views about this idea, but his underlying theme is quite clear. He says the cunning of reason brings about its own aims through the personal interests and predilections of great individuals.
The individuals are the living instruments of what is, in substance, the deed of the world mind. And they are directly at one with the deed, though it is concealed from them and is not their aim and object. For the deeds of the world mind, they receive no honor or thanks either from their contemporaries or from public opinion in later ages. All that is granted them by such opinion is undying fame in respect to the subjective form of their acts.
Political, social, and cultural results form the substance of world history. Hegel says these outcomes far transcend the subjective activities of the people through whom they're achieved. This feature of Hegel's concept of history provoked the following insightful comment from Professor Avineri of the Hebrew University in Jerusalem.
An intriguing paradox is thus presented by Hegel. Those who make history do not understand it, and those who understand it do not and should not make it.
In a sense, then, history is a force that charges onward in time. It seeks to realize the world spirit, to evolve toward the inevitable end of history, wherever it may lead. Some observers have suggested that Hegel's history is like a locomotive. It moves towards its end without a great deal of control or understanding by the passengers on the train. Hegel concentrated much of his attention on history, so it's all the more significant that he looked also to the future. He didn't go as far as Karl Marx later did in tying Hegelian ideas to specific predictions about the politics and economics of the future, but he did believe that Europe had a more important role in past history than in future history. He believed that absolute mind and reason would find another place to realize themselves. In a lecture about America in 1830, he said,
America is therefore the land of the future. There, in the ages that lie before us, the burden of the world's history shall reveal itself. Perhaps in a contest between North and South America. It is a land of desire.